The Baron replaced the eye patch and puffed on his pipe. Then he reached between Ryan's legs. Ryan wanted nothing more than to put his knee into the man's groin, and then stomp on his neck as he flopped around on the ground. But he knew it would be the last move he ever made. So instead of fighting back, Ryan followed Mildred's lead and did nothing.
You just might prove to be a useful addition to my operation.
He took his hand away and ran his fingers through Ryan's hair.
Ruggedly handsome. You wouldn't have any problems finding a breeder to rut with, would you?
The Baron moved on to Christy.
Ah, saved the best for last, I see.
He stepped in front of her, then did a slow walk around her so that he could appreciate her from all angles. There was a wide smile on his face.
I knew she was attractive from afar, but I had no idea.
Christy's sentient hair was curled tightly around her head and shoulders, and the rest of her body looked just as uncomfortable with the Baron's attention.
The possibilities.
There was a fire alight in his eyes. He stood there in front of Christy for the longest time, simply looking at her body. The sec man seemed to be getting tired of just standing around. Finally, the sec chief asked a question.
What do you want us to do with them?
The Baron turned to Ryan and Mildred.
Put these two in Gen Pop, working the orchard.
And the redhead?
Take her to my quarters and make her comfortable. I've got something special in mind for her.
JB, Jack, Dean, and Doc left the hotel, slightly burdened by Ryan's, Christie's, and Mildred's belongings. JB had wanted to leave the bags of fruit behind, but Doc insisted that they take the food with them. Even though the fruit had been tainted by some sort of drug, Doc thought he'd be able to make use of at least one bag during their trip. JB didn't press the matter. If the old man wanted to take the fruit, then he was free to carry it himself. The four friends moved slowly through the Ville's blasted core. While they were always on the lookout for anything of value that they could use, especially now that they had to rescue the others, it was clear the Ville had already been picked clean by local barons, travelers, and muties. Plenty of useful items were likely still hidden away inside the Ville, but they didn't have time to search blindly through dozens of homes and buildings, looking for needles in haystacks. As they walked past the large high tower that overlooked the falls, JB stopped to look up at the great concrete needle.
What are you thinking?
That there was someone up there yesterday watching us enter the Ville.
Think someone there now?
Don't know.
Won't find out?
JB thought about it for about half a second.
Yeah, I do.
They headed toward the tower and entered through the smashed entryway. The little shops inside had been cleaned out of the most useful items, and only little trinkets bearing pictures of the falls remained. Dean picked up a few and stuffed them in his pockets. Jack checked out the routes to the top. The elevators weren't working, but the stairs were clear. There were no signs of any sec man guarding the base of the tower, which meant that the top would likely be clear as well.
Take stairs.
JB, Dean, and Doc followed the teenager into the stairwell. They had gone up three flights when Jack suddenly stopped and turned.
Muties.
JB looked up the twisting staircase and could see three of the thin, canine-like creatures standing on the stairs above them, unmoving and seemingly wary of the friends.
Let's blast them.
No. We can't shoot around corners, and there's no telling what kind of ricochets we'll get off this concrete.
Won't go back down?
That's one option.
But you would very much appreciate getting a good lay of the land from the vantage point offered by this magnificent tower, correct?
Yeah. A good wreck of the area would be real helpful.
Then might I try something I have in mind that I think will rid us of these muties and get us to the top of the tower without firing a shot?
I'm open to suggestions, Doc.
Without another word, the old man took several steps toward the top of the tower. The muties backed away from him, matching his movement step for step and keeping the distance between them constant. When he reached the next landing, Doc stopped and put about a dozen pieces of fruit on the floor, then rejoined JB, Jack, and Dean.
What now?
Patience. Give them a minute.
Doc's patience paid off. Eventually, the muties came down the stairs and tore savagely into the fruit.
Let us go quietly.
The friends had their blasters at the ready as they passed the feeding muties, who were so ravenous they didn't stop eating to even look up as they passed. In seconds, the four companions were again hurrying toward the top of the tower, the sounds of the hungry muties fading slowly behind them.
What about on the way down?
I think we shall find them rather cooperative at that point.
They're just going to let us pass?
No. I suspect they will all be quite fast asleep by then.
Mildred and Ryan were led out of the barn by three sec men. Two of the white electrically powered mini-wags were waiting for them.
Get on the back of the wag!
The two friends climbed up onto the wag with their backs to the driver. The other two sec men got into the second wag, and when the driver pulled away, they followed.
Where do you think they're taking us?
Probably to work the fields with the rest of the slaves.
What do you think they'll do with Christy?
Ryan shook his head slightly.
I really don't want to think about it.
She'll be all right. She can take care of herself.
It's not Christy that I'm worried about.
Who then?
The Baron. I'm worried Christy will kill him before I get the chance to do it.
They continued to roll past the trees. Ryan tried to gauge how fast they were traveling so he could get an idea how big the farm was, but he stopped trying after a while. There was no point to it. Fox Farm was a huge operation, probably growing enough fruit and vegetables to supply several eastern villes. The wags began to slow, and Ryan craned his neck to have a look around. People were working in the trees, picking fruit, under the watchful eyes of even more sec men. Others crawled over the ground on all fours, pulling weeds from the earth between the trees. These people were also watched closely by sec men, and every once in a while one would get a blaster butt slammed into his back or thigh. Once the mini-wags came to a stop, Ryan and Mildred got off and stood with their hands still bound behind them. A sec man overseeing the workers approached, pulled a knife from a scabbard on his belt, and cut them both free.
Start picking!
Ryan and Mildred headed toward the trees that were being picked by the rest of the crew and started working themselves, trying to keep busy while they attempted to figure out how things worked out in the fields. At the edge of the stand of trees, the overseer, sec man, and a woman were having what looked like a rather heated discussion. Suddenly, she dropped down on her knees in front of him, and for a moment it looked as if he were going to chill her with his blaster. But instead of shooting her, he shouldered his weapon and began unbuttoning his pants. The workers had stopped picking fruit and were now watching the woman provide the man with a sexual favor.
Keep working and mind your own business, scabs. This ain't no peep show.
Slowly, the pickers went back to doing their job. Ryan and Mildred began picking fruit like the others, but Ryan was still able to watch the couple out of the corner of his eye. The whole unpleasant affair lasted about 10 minutes. The rest of the workers ignored them and continued with their jobs, as if nothing out of the ordinary was happening. When the man was done, he pushed the woman away and did up his pants. She walked back toward the others, a resigned expression on her face.
What kind of place is this?
Don't know, but before we know for sure, let's just get busy picking fruit.
When they reached the top of the tower, J.B., Jack, Doc, and Dean spent a few minutes admiring the view. Even though Mildred had said only a small amount of water was flowing over the falls, they were still an impressive sight. But more important than the view of the falls was that they were better able to see Fox Farm from the top of the tower and could get an idea of its layout. It was located on the northwest corner of an intersection between two roads that had long ago been overgrown with weeds. The farm had to stretch a mile or more in each direction, because the far northern corners of the fence were just visible from their vantage point. Two large buildings stood near the front gate of the complex, where the friends had traded for fruit. Set back from the gate was a large rectangular two-story building, which seemed to be the focal point. A tower rose from its center, allowing the sec force to oversee a large portion of the farm. If they were going to rescue Ryan and the others, they would definitely have to take the main building. If nothing else, the tower would have to be knocked over, because one or more sec men positioned inside would be able to cover the entire farmyard with a carpet of blaster fire, taking down everything in its path. Behind the main building were rows and rows of trees that stretched to the north. The shapes and sizes varied, and in between a few of the rows were patches of brown soil that were probably used for growing vegetables. To the left of the orchards were two rows of tiny cabins where either the sec men or farm workers lived.
A lot of places to hide once we're inside.
Jack nodded in agreement.
Have to fight house to house, tree to tree. Many sec men get chilled.
It occurs to me that things might go better for us once we're inside if we know where Ryan, Christy, and Mildred are being held. Otherwise, we could be looking for them for a long, long time.
JB nodded.
We're too far away for that now. We'll still have to do another wreck when we get in closer. Maybe...